So many thoughts and themes cohere in our celebration today. It's Father's Day, and one that we're all familiar with. Someone once said Father's Day is just a cheap replica of Mother's Day. I don't know, maybe other people think so, but we all know from experience equally important indeed in terms of our experience. It is also the fact that we must speak the truth. Speak the truth like in some cases with mothers. The same is true in some cases with fathers, when that memory and that experience is toxic and unhealthy and destructive. We know that that is part of the reality of our world. But what we seek to experience and to engage today are ways in which our lives, the messages that we receive and share with others, speaks words of hope and love and grace and healing. For all of those experiences and all of those words bear witness to it, to a variety of what people have gone through. A variety of experiences, a variety of hopes and needs. American theologian Diogenes Allen engaged the question that I think is apt for all human beings in his book titled Love. He asked simply a variety of people to talk about their experience of this question. When in your life have you felt profoundly loved? When have you experienced deep caring, deep presence, deep assurance, deep peace because of the love of another? And he got all kinds of responses back, very intriguing, endearing, even tear-inducing stories from people. Reflects on this because he says this common human questing and groping and need to experience is something of a clue about the very nature and heart of God. This God that comes alongside us to profoundly, profoundly interpenetrate our being with love. One on whom we can lay every burden. Barry, let us listen to one poet's, one songwriter's version of such an opportunity.
Actually wondering why Anthony's asked me to sing when they filled out those cards 2 weeks ago. I wasn't the one that said I'd like to sing in church. This is a modest song about a profound subject, about relationship. Husband, wife, father, daughter, son, and to our Heavenly Father. It's a cold, cold world that we're traveling through. They ought to tell you at the start. But it's warm as toast, walking two by two. Lay down this burden of your heart. Lay down the burden of your heart. I know you'll never miss it. Oh, show your father where it hurts. And let your father fix it. And it's a fine, fine line betwixt love and hate. It's hard to tell the two apart. But you'll know it's love that he offers you. Lay down the burden of your heart. Lay down this burden of your heart. I know you'll never miss it. Oh, show your father where it hurts, and let your father fix it. And it's a cold old world that we're traveling through. Lay down the burden of your heart. But what strength he has, he will offer you. Lay down this burden of your heart. Lay down the burden of your heart. I know you'll never miss it. Oh, show your father where it hurts, and let your father fix it. I know you'll never miss it.
Now you know why I asked him. That beautiful Jesse Winchester song, Lay Down the Burden of Your Heart. What I'm hoping to do with the assistance of the Spirit as we reflect today is to get in touch with the deepest part of your being, with the ache and with the groping, with the appetite, with the longing, with what is raw at the very core of our being. Why? Because it is there that we are most vulnerably able to experience this mysterious God of whom we speak today. That song and other references evoke emotions, evokes a deep stirring within us. And it is that stirring that I believe is the gift of God to call forth from us an openness to experiencing the reality of this mysterious God, whom we name in traditional language as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I need to tell you that the so-called doctrine of the Trinity, the actual word Trinity is not found in the Bible, in the New Testament. There are references to this threefold experience of God. The benediction that we often hear, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit that comes from Paul. That reference today in Matthew, go into the world and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In terms of a coalesced doctrine, it wasn't till 200 years later that was articulated, and 350 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus that an actual doctrine was established. It was an attempt of the early Christians and the early church to speak of a reality that was deeply, deeply mysterious and yet tangible, palpable, open to exploration and open to engagement, that came upon us unbidden. Even early on, although today some people want to dismiss this doctrine and think that we are speaking really of three gods rather than one, and it may be that there are some helps that have been used that have been insufficient to engage the mystery. We try talking about, you know, the tripartite way of relationship. I am both a son, I am a father, I am a husband. One person, yet fulfilling these roles. We talk sometimes about H2O, the fundamental compound, H2O. In its solid state is ice, in its gaseous state is vapor, and in its room temperature state is water, three, and yet still the same compound, H2O. Those may be helpful to begin to engage, but they are not sufficient because they are too static. They do not speak of that inherent relationship that is part of God. And even early on, St. Augustine, in his very voluminous work, De Trinitatis, tries to engage this being, as it were, of God by using other three-word formula. Not only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but some of those that are particularly powerful is love, beloved, and lover. In other words, he was trying to communicate what has been a confession of the church from early on, that God is essentially love, and love of necessity must be relational, must be in relationship to another, cannot be singularly experienced. And so this love, this community of love that is God, love, beloved, and lover, is a way of expressing this mystery. But St. Augustine also used a number of other formulations, one of which is profound indeed in its subversiveness for that time and even today. Spoke of this God as mother, child, and womb. Isn't that amazing? Mother, child, and womb. And draws on the references from Isaiah, talking about a comparison. The prophet makes a comparison. God says, can a mother forget her nursing child? Talks about birthing the nation as a mother births through the womb, as it were. So understanding these images for God profoundly are riffs or variations on the theme of love. If you would turn, just for a moment, to your worship bulletin on the cover. This is another attempt. This is the Trinity. It's a little bit blurred, but the Trinity by Andrei Rublev. If you look at it, it's an icon, and there are three representations around a common chalice, if you will, sharing. Now, although it looks like three persons, it's very difficult to represent. But the point of this is very, very profound. There are many things, but the one I want to stress. Look, if you will, at the chalice on the table or that bowl on the table. How are we able to see it? We're able to see it because there is a space at the table. And Andre particularly created this to remind us that this community of love that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, mother, child, and womb, purposely leaves room open for you and for me and for all creation. We are invited into this community of love to experience what we spoke of earlier as that raw, unbidden desire for wholeness and peace and joy that emanates from all of us. When we are aware of that, we are aware of the call and the summons and the seducement of God into God's own being. There is space in the heart and life for God. Sometimes that profound experience is had in a relationship with one's father. Let's hear of Doretta speak and sing of that now.
She's giving her dad a hard time right now. I think I scared Anthony earlier this week when he called to check in on me and I couldn't speak. I had laryngitis. So today I have my jazz voice. So my father passed away about 12 years ago, and I wrote a poem and a song soon after he passed away. And my dad was big on creating memories. So today I dedicate this not only to my dad, but to all of the fathers here on earth who work so hard to create beautiful memories for all of the people in their lives. I want to thank you for just being in my life. You always gave me the strength to stand when my whole world has fallen. And if ever you need some to be your strength, to be your guide. Forever I will be your child. Father, Dad, you are distinct and fascinating. Sometimes I can smell your cologne. The scent dances in the air and engages my senses. The memories of your warm embrace fills me with a sense of warmth, a security. I used to love to rub my cheek against yours before you shaved and feel the prickly tingles against my skin. Sometimes at night, I would strain my ears and listen for your breathing while you slept. I just wanted to know you were there. Then I could fall back asleep in my own bed. I remember when you stretched out your hand to me, and I would hold it tight while I would bounce through the mud puddles and giggle. Your presence was like a great wall blocking all negativity, insecurities, keeping me safe, giving me a gift that I would treasure the rest of my life, a childhood. You would kiss away the insect bites and reprimand the monsters under my bed. All I could give you at the time was my smile, the reassurance that all of your efforts brought your children joy. Another dreary day goes by. Another lonely night, seems like no one's there. Sometimes it makes me want to cry. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sometimes I feel so scared. And then you come right along, like a bright star shining in a dark night. You always know just how I feel. You know just how to make things right. You are like the air. I don't always see you. I don't always feel your touch. But your presence, it's tangible. It's real. Like the air, I take a breath and I can feel you in my soul, in my heart. The life lessons that you taught me, your proverbs, those crazy sayings, your celebrations, mistakes, successes, and setbacks helped to build my foundation, my rock. Sometimes I would watch you come home so tired from working so hard, all of those extra hours, those sacrifices, in order to give me the Christmases and the Easter gifts that you never had. I didn't understand it then, but I understand now that you were showing your love for your family by protecting, by providing, by loving us the best way you knew how. So I want to thank you for just being in my life. You always gave me the strength to stand when my whole world has fallen. And if ever you need someone in your life to be your strength, to be your guide, forever I will be your child. Yes.
And if ever you need someone in your life, let me be your strength. I'll be your guide. Forever I will be your child. Love, lover, the loved. It is that space into which we are invited, that God has given us the privilege of experiences on earth, glimpses of love and of deep acceptance, that we would hunger for something more. For more of the beautiful, more of the tranquil, more of the peaceful, more of the just, more of the hope. And that hunger will lead us into the heart of God. I want to say to all of you as I close is that you don't have to have the doctrine of the Trinity sorted out. None of us can fully explain that or even understand it. What we are called to experience rather than fully understand is the variegated, the multiplicity, the polyvalent experience and reality that is God that comes to us powerfully in our being. Whether you are sure or not, the gospel lesson today reminds us about that. We read in verse 16 that as Jesus went, came and appeared to them, he called them and summoned them. And the text says something very stark, very striking. It says, and they came and they worshipped, but most of the Bible say, but some doubted. The word some is not in the Greek. The construction leaves a possibility that it could be interpreted that way, but Matthew uses 17 other similar constructions and it's never interpreted that way. The word there means waver, not really doubt, waver. What it suggests is that the disciples that Jesus has called believed and worshipped, but also wavered. They weren't fully there. And I love that. Because the other example in Matthew when this happens is when Peter, tempestuous and impulsive Peter, walks on the water towards Jesus and all of a sudden starts sinking and Jesus comes to him and says the same thing, why do you waver? And immediately it says, and the disciples in the boat worshipped him. Worshipping and wavering. Worshipping and not being fully sure. Worshipping and just not having it all sorted out. Not feeling fully like you are the person you ought to be. Like you are the disciple you're supposed to be. Worshipping and all of that belong together. Come and be as you are. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Trust this God who will spend more time, more power and energy reaching out to us than we will to God. In a community of love that always, always leaves space open for us and the world. This love, this lover, this beloved is that reality into which we are invited. Think of the times when you have felt most loved, most cherished. That's just the glimpse of all that God has in store. This wondrous three in one for you and for me. And sends us out to encourage others to experience this. Go into the world and make disciples. Making disciples means establishing relationships so that others may come to build on their experiences of love, the healing of their brokenness, and follow in the way of Christ, this God who leaves space wide open in God's heart for you and for me. Thank you, Doretta. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, God, for reminding us of this. Amen.